Friends, when I was thinking of, while I was working through this passage, it came to me that it'd be good to ask some people about something that has been done for them, something great that has been done for them by someone who's close to them, like a parent or something else like this. And here's some of the things that they said. They built a swing for me. They built a cubby house for me. They taught me how to drive. They looked after me when I was sick. They took me places. They cared about me. They drove a long way to a farm to get some clay so they could make a grass cricket pitch out the backyard. But what I found as I was talking to people, seemed like naturally it moved from the thing that they were given to the person. They started talking about the relationship that they were in with that person, not just what it was that they gave them. The relationship, that's what was special. We're about to hear a reading now from Ephesians that is an explosion of God's blessing. It's a wonderful passage, but it's also a celebration of the relationship that a Christian is in with God. And so, Tony, can you please come and read that passage?
I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, and you'll see the pages in the various church Bibles up on the screen behind me. So that's Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is God's word.
Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I want to spend a bit of time now looking through those first 14 verses of Ephesians. And I want to look at them under the headings. You'll see them in your outline if you've got it there. God's blessings, ours in Christ, and our response of praise. And so first, God's blessing. Have a look again with me at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Blessing, that might be a word that we hear around the place quite often. Maybe we even say it ourselves. But what does it mean to be blessed by God? Being blessed by God is receiving all the benefits of being in a relationship with God. Every spiritual blessing, and Paul lists some of them there, holiness, adoption, grace, redemption, forgiveness. But I wonder, do you and I think of those things when we think we're blessed by God? You'll notice there that Paul doesn't say, you'll have an easy life, you'll have good kids, a new car, lots of friends, a great job, a good day. And these things are good, and we need to give thanks to God for them. And we need to think, how can I use that to serve God? But Paul, he's not talking about these material things when he talks of every blessing in God. He's not talking about the material things because they come and go. And in reality, you don't need to be in a relationship with God to have a good day, to have a good job. Material things tend to put the focus on the things that we have, and at times, how hard I've worked to get this thing, how good I am, but they don't put the focus on God. The blessings that Paul writes about here are different. They're things that no one else and nothing else can give you except for God. And these blessings put the focus solely on God. This passage reminds us that when we think of how God has blessed us, we need to look beyond the material things that we have. We need to look beyond me. And look at a passage like this that brings us back to what God has given us. That it's so much better than any material thing we could have. Because it can never change. It's there for us. Just a couple of things I want to comment on what this says about blessings. Firstly, you'll notice there that they are certain. They're certain. Have a look at verse 4. For he, that is God, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Verse 11, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, for the purpose of his will. This is God's purpose. This is God's plan for his people before they were born. Before you were born, God's purpose for you. And it will continue after death. Look at halfway through verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. Chosen by God. God's possession. If you are a child of God, then all of this is given to you and will remain with you because God has done it and God will keep it. These things are true and permanent. The second thing I want to look at is that these blessings of God are generous. In fact, they're over generous. Look at verse 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Every blessing lavished on us. My kids love tomato sauce. That might come as a surprise to you. I mean, which kid doesn't? But when they put sauce on their meal, they lavish it. Almost wasteful. Everything is covered. You can't even see what the original meal was. You can't taste anything else but the sauce. God's grace, his blessings, are lavished on us. It covers every part of us, penetrates, it changes us. Every spiritual blessing from God on his children. Well, how do we access these blessings? They sound amazing. How do we access these blessings? How do they become ours? Well, the passage tells us that they are ours in Christ. And that's the second point I want to look at. They're ours in Christ. Now, the term in Christ or in him or something similar to that is mentioned at least 9 times in this passage. Have a look at just some of them. Verse 3, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, chose us in him before the creation of the world. Verse 5, adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. And it goes on. It's because a person is in Christ that God blesses them with every spiritual blessing. There's no other way that you can get these than from God. There's no other way you can receive these blessings unless you're in Christ. And so how do we get into Christ? What does it mean? Well, verse 7, it says this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Jesus' blood, Jesus' sacrificial death for sinful humans, where he took our punishment for our sins, where he paid the price for our rebellion against God, and he enabled us to stand there before God, pure and blameless. When you put your trust in Jesus, there is this exchange. He takes our sin and he gives us his right standing before God. When we trust in Jesus, we are in Christ. This passage in Galatians 2:20. Can we have it up on the screen, please, Peter? Thanks, that's it. Paul puts it this way. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 2. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. A follower of Jesus has been unified, has a unity in Jesus' death, sins forgiving, and a unity in Jesus' resurrection, new life in Christ. Believers are in Christ, and in Christ we are part of God's purpose and plan. We have been blessed. And so that means that God's blessings are not what we have or what we've given. They're not being given to us because of who we are. They're not given to you because of how good you are. They're not given to you because of the things that you do, but they're given because of who you are in Christ. And so you are in Christ now. These blessings are true for you now if you're in Christ. And they will be true for us tomorrow and into eternity in Christ. In Christ you are a child of God, now forgiven. And so if they're true for us now, then they need to shape our response. They need to shape our action right now. I don't know if this is true for you, but at times I feel the pressure in this world to think, have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Have I been a good enough friend? Have I been good enough to my family? Have I achieved all I could possibly achieve? Have I taken the opportunities that are there? And even, have I done enough to be worthy to be a child of God? Now, I don't know about those other things, but what I do know is when it comes to being a child of God, I haven't done enough. I could never do enough. I haven't done even nearly enough to deserve the blessings. But Jesus has. And my life is caught up in him in such a way that these blessings are mine now, sealed, I'm told, by the Holy Spirit. Now, the idea of being sealed with the Holy Spirit comes from a term that's used for slavery. The owner of a slave would burn their initials into the slave somewhere, maybe cut a little bit of their ear off, and that would remind the slave and anyone else that they belong to that person. It's a sign that I could only imagine would be a humiliation to a person forever, a sign of a real injustice. But the seal of the Holy Spirit that marks you and I, that we are in Christ, is a wonderful mark. It's a mark that assures you of God's blessing, that in Christ you belong to Him. You belong before the creation of the world. And He will keep you in these things. And He will see that these promises are yours into eternity. If you've ever wondered, does God love me? Does God have a plan? Does God have a purpose? The answer is yes. He does. And He did before the creation of the world. And He will continue into eternity. In Christ we have every spiritual blessing. And so how do we respond to that? Well, we praise God. That's my last point, our response of praise. Have a look at verse 5 and 6. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will to the praise of His glorious grace. Verse 12, in order that we who were first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Verse 14, at the end of the passage, the Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. All of this is done for the praise of His glory, His purpose, His plan, His calling of people to be His people, forgiven, adopted, to stand before Him, holy and blameless, is for His glory. It's all from Him and it's all for Him. And so what do we do as His people? We join in that praise. We're blessed. We are children to praise God. The people that I asked us, I mentioned at the beginning of the talk, they moved on to talking about the person, but they also told of their kindness, the love, not the gift, but the thoughtfulness. They spoke about this. They told me how good this person was to them. Our response to God for His blessings is not to worship those blessings and be excited about them. Ours is to say, praise God for His glory. That is, praise God for who He is and for what He's done. But what does that look like in our everyday lives? Well, in the Bible, praising God is often seen in an expression, in a psalm, like we had Psalm 84 read out, in a song, in words, in some sort of outpouring. And so we can praise God by telling each other how great God is, the wonderful things that He has done, remind each other of what it means. We can sing about that in the songs. We can recite creeds. We can join together in things that we do. We can pray to God, praising Him together. We give Him the honour that only He deserves for the things that He has given us. And we praise God in our conversation over morning tea, in Bible study, any time that we catch up. We can share. You know how God has blessed me. You know the blessings of God. It's really helped me this day to get through a really tough week. And I really